You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
American singer Katy Perry recently had a court win in a long-running trademark dispute with Australian fashion designer Katy Perry. The singer successfully appealed a 2023 federal court decision, resulting in the fashion designer having her trademark cancelled and being ordered to pay costs. I spoke to Associate Professor at the University of Auckland's Faculty of Law, Rob Batty, about what gave rise to the case, how trademark law was applied, and what the recent decision might mean for smaller names. What gave rise to this case, or why was this case brought to the courts to begin with?
Yeah, so this is a really unfortunate case. There's a fashion designer called Katie Taylor, and she designs and sells clothes, luxury loungewear in particular. Now, she was born Katy Perry, and that's Katy with an I-E, and later she changed her name to Katy Taylor when she got married. Now, she started designing and selling clothes under the name Katy Perry, and she actually even registered the trademark Katy Perry in Australia in 2008. So that's really important. She was the first to use and register Katy Perry in Australia. But then the singer we know as Katy Perry, and that's Katy with a Y, she was actually born Catherine Hudson. But in 2002, she started using the name Katy Perry in the US. Now, I'm going to call Katy Perry, the singer, Hudson. So Ms. Hudson's career really started taking off in 2007. And about that time, her manager started to pursue merchandising opportunities, and she filed the trademark Katy Perry in the United States. So we've got two parties here, both with an interest in the trademark Katy Perry. In 2009, Hudson, so that's the singer, became aware of the Australian fashion designer's trademark, and her manager realised this could be a bit of a problem when Miss Hudson expanded into Australia and started touring in Australia. So initially, the singer and her manager threatened Miss Taylor, and after that, they tried a more peaceful solution, which was something called a coexistence agreement, basically a suggestion that both parties should keep using their names and peacefully coexist. However, the Australian fashion designer rejected that. Then Hudson went on tour in Australia several times, and merchandise bearing the trademark Katy Perry was sold at concerts, pop-up stores, and the like. Some considerable time after that, Miss Taylor, that is the Australian fashion designer, commenced trademark infringement proceedings against Miss Hudson for trademark infringement. So that's the kind of context which gets us to the court decision.
Like you've said, Miss Hudson is American while Miss Taylor is Australian. Can you explain how trademark law functions in cases where the parties are from different countries?
Yeah, sure. The key point is that trademarks are territorial. So that means if you want a trademark in Australia, you go and register your trademark in Australia, and it only extends throughout Australia. So if you want a trademark in the United States, you go and register your trademark in the United States. So in this case, which is not actually uncommon, we have one party with territorial rights in the United States, and then one party trying to assert territorial rights in Australia. Now, the difficulty and what makes trademark law kind of interesting in this area is that although the rights, so the actual registrations are territorial, reputation, so consumer awareness about a name or a trademark, can cross international borders. And that was one of the issues in this case.
The initial ruling found in Ms. Taylor's favour. Can you explain the decision?
Sure. So in the initial case, it was found that Katy Perry, that is the singer, and her associated companies had infringed the fashion designer's Miss Taylor's trademark. So this Miss Taylor had registered her trademark for clothing. The sale of clothing in association with the singer's tours in Australia was a clear infringement of her rights. And so they were found, the companies were found to have infringed, as well as the singer, Katy Perry. But the trial judge, so that's in the Federal Court of Australia, found that the singer had a defence for infringement. So there's a defence, we have a similar defence in New Zealand, for the good faith use of your own name. So here, one of the interesting issues was whether the singer could rely on that defence. As I mentioned at the outset, Katy Perry, the singer, wasn't born as Katy Perry. Her name is Catherine Hudson. But the federal court found that she could rely on that defence because that is the name she was known by. Further, they found that her use was in good faith. So although Catherine Hudson, the singer, became aware of Miss Taylor's trademark, she honestly didn't believe there would be any confusion, and there hasn't actually been any confusion in the marketplace. So her use was found to be in good faith. Nevertheless, Miss Taylor essentially won the federal court decision because the company associated with Katy Perry, the singer, couldn't rely on that defence, and they were found to have been infringing. Moreover, there's another issue in the background of this case, and that's an attempt by Catherine Hudson to cancel Katy Taylor's trademark. And the federal court declined to cancel Katy Taylor's trademark. But when we get to the appeal, the full federal court decides that the trademark of the Australian fashion designer ought to be cancelled.
The decision, as you've mentioned, was successfully appealed by Ms. Hudson. Why was the appeal successful?
Yeah, so this is where we get to the cancellation of the trademark. So what Ms. Hudson was able to successfully argue on appeal is that when Ms. Taylor filed her trademark in 2008, Katy Perry, the singer, had a reputation associated with the name Katy Perry. Her career was really starting to blossom there. She had an international reputation. And because of that international reputation, at the date that Ms. Taylor tried to register her trademark in 2008, the court found it would be likely that consumers would be confused. So on that basis, the full federal court said Ms. Taylor's trademark should be cancelled. And once the trademark's cancelled, then the infringement action falls away. You can't infringe a trademark that has been cancelled. So that goes to that really important point I started with, which is that international reputation can cross boundaries. So although Katy Perry, the singer, had registered rights in the United States, and those rights are circumscribed by the territory of the United States, her reputation through the internet and through cross-border trade can spill over international borders into Australia.
What might the effect of this ruling be on people with less influence and fewer resources than celebrities?
I think it's relevant here in this case that Ms. Taylor kind of acknowledged that she knew of the singer when she filed the trademark. And she also knew that musicians and singers often sold clothing and were associated with clothing as part of their commercial activity. I think for people who are less well-known and who have less resources, the lesson is still to file your trademark in territories in which you're interested in. This kind of case is often portrayed as sort of a David versus Goliath type of case, And in this case, I'm sure Miss Taylor thinks that the Goliath of Katy Perry the singer has won. But and unfortunately, often in IP disputes, the bigger party with the deeper pockets might win, but not always. And there's a very interesting example that some listeners might reflect on, which is Hungry Jack's in Australia. So Hungry Jack's is not called Burger King in Australia. And the reason for that is that when Burger King was looking to expand into Australia in the 1970s, it found that an Australian business had already registered the trademark Burger King in Australia and had opened several locations across the country. So that Australian business was able to prevent Burger King, the US company, from using the name Burger King in Australia. So although bigger parties can often put pressure on smaller parties in IP disputes, there are examples when registering your trademark first can be an effective means of protecting your name.
That was the University of Auckland's Associate Professor of Law, Rob Batty, speaking about the recent development in the long-running trademark dispute between singer Katy Perry and designer Katy Perry.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.